Well, thank you, Jared, for laying out a basis for the message this morning. You just introduced my message, so now I can just jump right in. This is great. Again, welcome everyone here today. Lord God, we welcome you here today. Thank you that you are with us. And Lord, as we talk about the principles of your kingdom, help us, Lord, to be very careful and to represent you truthfully and well, Lord. So just guide and direct this time. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And one specific part about the kingdom of heaven that I want to just develop here a little bit today, and that is that the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom where life springs out of death. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom where life springs out of death. So, that being the case, brothers and sisters, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear hardship. We don't need to fear humbling ourselves before the Lord, because the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom where life springs out of death. We are people of the resurrection. Amen? We are people of the resurrection. We live in a sin-cursed world. We have hardships, but we are people of the resurrection. So that being said, we can confidently step into all the opportunities to die that we possibly can, because we are people of the resurrection and we believe that life springs out of death. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's just a very interesting, like Jared brought up these paradoxes in the kingdom of God. Incredible one in Acts, where I think it was Lystra. Paul and Barnabas were there in Lystra, and I forget, did they heal somebody? Anyway, all that happened is the people were so excited about the word of life to the point that they were ready to worship and sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And the word of God just was increasing. It was a resurrection moment. But then some Jews showed up from another city and they picked up stones and the script flips and suddenly they're stoning Paul. And they threw him out of the city. The disciples gathered around Paul and he got up, brushed himself off, and headed off to the next town. A little later, they came back to this town to strengthen the believers. So, what do we do with those hardships? Paul said in Acts 14, he said, it's through many hardships that we enter the kingdom of God. And yet we are people of the resurrection. Very interesting paradox. I think here in the Western world, we are infected more than what we think of a false theology that if you become a Christian, life is going to become a breeze. That things are just going to go well for you. You will have the blessing of God over you physically. You will have the blessing of God over you financially. And yes, we pray those blessings over our lives because we are people of the resurrection. However, it is through hardships that we enter the kingdom of God. And so when we face hardships, yes, we ask God to deliver us from them. That's okay. That's good. And we believe God for healing and all those things. But we don't just rebuke the devil away and push hardships away simply because, well, we're Christian. This shouldn't be happening to us. Ron and Christine gave me a book by Pastor Cimbala, Pastor Cimbala from Brooklyn Tabernacle, called Fresh Power. And interesting story in that book, which demonstrates a little bit what I'm saying here about hardship versus freedom and things in the Christian life. Very intriguing story. So a few years ago, a man from New Jersey called the offices there at Brooklyn Tabernacle, talked to one of the pastors, and he said, I'd like to schedule a counseling appointment with you. We are having some financial difficulty, and we need some help, my wife and I. And the pastor said, well, what about your church in New Jersey? Could not the pastors there help you? Oh, the man said, I've already went to them, and they've already given me a word of faith. And yes, this is a word of faith. I have no financial difficulty. The creditors are not after me. The bills are already paid in Jesus' name. And the pastor from Brooklyn was like, so then why are you calling me? Well, the man said, we don't have bills. We are in a good situation. We are blessed financially. In the name of Jesus. That is a word of faith for this moment. But he said, the reason I'm calling you, I just have one question for you. He said, what I really want to know is it a sin to file bankruptcy? That's what I want to know. So, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Unless, if it does not fall into the ground and die, it just remains alone. There's no increase, there's no fruit. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Matthew 13, another parable Jesus put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Luke 9. Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So, in a lot of different ways, the choice to die, the choice to humble ourselves, comes at us in many different ways and levels. Maybe sometimes it does come with financial hardship. But maybe it's just that daily choice. Am I going to hang on to what I think in my ego, or am I going to die? In the kingdom of God, life always springs out of death. It always does. It always does. God is very interesting. He brings life out in many different ways. And I've been reading through the book of Daniel, and I want to take you there for just a little bit here. So, life springs out of death, and God does it in ways sometimes that we can't even imagine. There is an incredibly, I think, a pretty bizarre story in the book of Daniel, very well known, and I'm going to read it here in a moment. But we have King Nebuchadnezzar, you have Babylon, you have this kingdom that is controlling or ruling most of the earth at that time, from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean Sea. Nebuchadnezzar was a man who was greatly feared. He was a crazy guy. The stories are just interesting. If you really start digging into them, it's very unique. This guy was incredible. He was a conqueror, but he also did a lot of building things. And he was known also as a builder. He was a man to be feared, and he was, bipolar. The guy was crazy. So on one hand, you have in the story, you have him so amazed that Daniel is able to tell him his dream. He's so amazed at somebody that he just instantly makes them second ruler in the kingdom or third ruler in the kingdom and gives them all kinds of gifts. But then the next story, he's so mad. He gets so incredibly mad that his face actually gets contorted and he just does bizarre stuff. I mean, like the one time, the astrologers and his magicians couldn't tell him what his dream was, and he set him up for it. He said, well, first of all, you tell me what I dreamed. And that's where they got hung up. He got so mad, he told the captain of his guard to just go kill all the magicians, astrologers in the land in Babylon. And so when they came to Daniel, which he was considered one of those men that could tell the future, when they came to him with the sword, he's like, well, what's going on? And they said, well, here's the decree. Daniel said, just give me a minute. Take me to the king. And it's incredible stories. You know, the one of the burning fiery furnace. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar got so mad that he said, fire the furnace up 7 times hotter. I mean, with where the furnace was, it would have burned anybody. But just make it really hot, so hot that his mighty men of his army died just throwing these fellows into the fire. I mean, the guy was so off his rocker. But here's the incredible thing. The people around the world at that time, that known world, were idol worshipers, and they worshiped gods of stone, and I don't know what all they worshiped, sun gods. But one day, the whole world got a message, got a letter from Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know if there's any other time in the world where the whole world received a message from a king, at least up to that time. I find this so interesting. The whole world got a letter. And this is what the letter said. I'm going to read in the NLT, Daniel chapter 4. Just listen to this story. So King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. This is what the letter or the message said. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever and his rule through all generations. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order, calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, Belteshazzar, king or chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means. While I was laying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Then as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, cut down the tree and lop off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field for 7 periods of time. Let him have the mind of a wild animal instead of the mind of a human, for this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the Holy One so that everyone may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of people. Belteshazzar, that was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means. For none of the wise men of my kingdom can do so, but you can tell me because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time. He was frightened by the meaning of the dream. The king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. The tree you saw was growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in the shade, birds nested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you. For you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to heaven and you rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, your majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my lord the king. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and the roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. And while these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. And that same hour, the judgment was fulfilled. And Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up into heaven. My sanity returned and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? Or why are you doing these things? When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. And so life, my friends, springs out of death in the kingdom of God. This message of life went out all over the world. And can you imagine the people in their tents and all the different places, in the desert places, wherever they were, hearing that message and sitting back and scratching their heads? What an incredible message. Out of the most wicked, feared place on earth came a message of life, truth, and glory. God's name exalted across the world is just amazing. Most times, we don't proclaim those points in our lives. In this day and age of much posting, we post the good things in our lives, and that's okay. I was thinking about it, you know. I just saw one this morning again on a status, but you know, we have these amazing cups of coffee, and we're sitting there, and the light streaming in the window, and we send that picture out, and it's most amazing. You can just feel you're in the room, right? It's incredible. And these are beautiful times of worship, times of adoration, sitting there with our Bible open and the amazing cup of coffee and the light, the snow, whatever it is, and it's okay. But my friends, how many times am I sitting there? And yes, I have the cup of coffee. The light is streaming in the window, beautiful sunlight, but I don't see the sunlight. In fact, I sip the coffee and I don't even think about what it tastes like. But instead, I'm wrestling through a circumstance, through a hard thing in my life that I can hardly see how I'm going to get through. We don't post those things normally. But it's so true. Life springs out of death. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, he lifts us up, James says. I want to tell you about such a story in my life a number of years ago. I was 25 years old. My wife and I were both 25. We had one son, Riley. He was about 2. And I had this incredible opportunity of being, I was hired by one of my friends to help start a company here in the area. And I won't get into all those details, but it was an amazing opportunity. I was so excited. And this company, I got right in there with him, and we started hiring people, and this thing really started on a roll. We had a couple of different stores here in the area. We had a whole network happening out in Holmes County. I spent a lot of time in Holmes County back in those days working with craftsmen and shops. It was the furniture business. And it was an amazing time. And the customers just came. And we could hardly believe it. It was the first time in my life, and one of the few times in my life, that I was a salaried worker. Not by the hour, I was salaried. Which at the time felt amazing. I don't know why, but anyway. But we felt so young, and yet it felt like our ship had come in. I remember me and another young guy sitting out at a restaurant in Holmes County. All of our restaurants and nights and everything were paid, you know. And we sat there and we were like, this is crazy. How are we having so much fun? And yet supposed to be work, but incredible fun. I remember the day my boss took me over here to New Holland Auto Group, and they gave me the keys to a brand new SUV. Only time I drove away with the new SUV, and he said, this vehicle is yours to use as you want to use. It's still it's a company vehicle, but you can use it everywhere you want to use it. It's your family vehicle. And I drove out of the lot in a brand new SUV. I had this feeling that this is where I'm going to retire. This was it. This was it. It was the only time in my life where I owned a motorhome. Half of a motorhome. Me and another guy bought one. So we had motorhomes and boats and snowmobiles at our disposal. We were living high on a hog, as you might say. But financial hardship came to the business. I was head over a certain department. And one day, they told me that I need to cut all my guys' hours back. We had lots of work. That wasn't the problem. Lots of work. But you must cut your guys' hours all back to 40. 40 hours a week. And I loved my guys too much, and we had work, and we just kept working. One day, they pulled the vehicle away. Another day, they pulled me into a meeting, and they said, we're taking you out of management. And my world began to crumble. You see, this is where I was going to retire. This is where it was really at. There's just so much good. But we're taking you out of management. Basically, it comes down to that I didn't listen to my superiors. I didn't cut my guys' hours back. We're taking you out of management. So either you leave or you take a lesser position. At the time, I took a lesser position in the company. I wasn't sure quite what I wanted to do, but I decided I loved this place. I decided that's what I'm going to do for now, and I became, one of my guys became over me now. Well, one day, day before Thanksgiving in 2004, I got a call from my boss. I was out on the road. I got a call from my boss, and he said, when you get back today, lay all your keys on my desk. This is it. You're done. So, I guess I was too big to see that I was no longer bringing value to my circle of influence there. I so thought that I had my future, my world figured out, and it really did seem secure, to the point that I knew better than the people over me. Or so I thought. But I handed my keys in that day, and I walked out the door never to return. And suddenly, you feel so vulnerable. So it felt like a death to me. It really did. A death of a vision, death of my ego, a death of my reputation. You can name it anything you want there, but it was a death. Out of that death came resurrection. That doesn't mean that suddenly my life turned around and it got all good again. No, but resurrection, folks, is not about our circumstances changing just like that. Resurrection is about us understanding truth. Truth about who God is, truth about who we are. Resurrection is truth-telling. Truth-telling is resurrection. So, what was the resurrection for me in this case? It probably was much more than I even understand. But here's a couple of points. it's not about me. It's not about me. I am not indispensable. Truth-telling. My true identity is not in positions or status. I needed to realize that once again. Truth-telling. If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Truth-telling. I am part of a team. I am part of a community that has authority structure. You see, I am not balanced. I am not a balanced individual. Therefore, I need others. And so, with that being true, I don't just do my own thing and expect to thrive. That was the life, the truth-telling, some of it that needed to spring up and began to spring up in my life. I need you. I don't just do my own thing and expect to thrive. Now I want to tell you another story or just a fact. A few hundred years after this message of God's kingdom being eternal and everlasting, a few hundred years after this account in Daniel 4, the Son of God up in heaven stood up. Go here with me in your mind. The Son of God stood up. He took off his royal robes and he took on a robe of flesh, of decaying, decomposing flesh. The Son of God went from creating planets and lining up the galaxies of stars. He went from directing celestial bodies into order. He went from that to healing smelly lepers and putting mud on blind eyes. My friends, the Son of God went from filling oceans with fish with just a word. He went from that to praying over a boy's lunch and taking those few fishes and bread and feeding thousands of people. The Son of God went from commanding the skies and the deep places to open up and cover the whole world with water, bringing vengeance on man's rebellion and bringing and wiping the slate clean. He went from that to standing in a man-made judgment hall, full of false accusers, full of hate, full of jealousy, plastered in saliva and spit, covered with blood, with thorns, confessing the only thing he had to confess. And that was, I am the Son of God. I am the King. I am a king. All the while knowing, brothers and sisters, that he could, with just a word, call down 10,000 angels and once again clean out the whole mess. With just a word, he could call them down and clean out the whole mess. But instead of that, he said, Father, forgive them. You see, my friends, in the kingdom of heaven, life springs out of death. Resurrection. There cannot be a resurrection without a death. And in the kingdom of God, there cannot be a death without a resurrection. You see, in God's kingdom, death is never the end. Our Lord Jesus rose in power and in authority. Death could not keep him. He trampled death. He squashed a serpent's head. And so, when you and I are crucified with Christ, death, my friends, becomes a springboard into life. Did you get that? When we are crucified with Christ, death becomes a springboard into life. I invite you to that death and to all the deaths that come after that, laying down our lives in order to find them in the end. And those choices, some are big, some are small. Some come at us, hardships, circumstances come to us, like came to me back years ago that I did not choose, but then I had a choice. Was I going to resist and fight, or would I die? Would I die? Again, James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What is it that we can take away today? Well, I could read in the book of James, there's so much there about death and life. We won't do that here this morning, but simply, what can we take away today? I just proclaim this. I ask you, I invite you to humble yourself. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Choose humility. Choose death, because we are people of the resurrection, and we know that life springs out of death. So how do we humble ourselves? Well, there's different things we can do, but I'll just say this, and I brought this up a few weeks ago in a service. I don't remember when, but this thing of prayerlessness or prayerfulness. Let's ask the Father to teach us how to pray. You see, prayerlessness inspires self-sufficiency and self-promotion. That's what it inspires. We want to take control of our life. We don't need prayer. We don't need communication with heaven when we have control of our life, or so we think. I can promote myself today as having it all together. I've got it figured out. Or I can promote myself today as a victim. Either way, prayerlessness breeds manipulation and control. And so today, let's choose, brothers and sisters, truth-telling, honest prayer. The type of prayer the publican prayed. He told the truth in his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I invite you to prayerfulness. You see, prayerfulness leads us to full dependency on the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It leads us to full dependency. Dependency and humility go hand in hand. And out of humility comes curiosity. Who are you, Lord? And what is it that you want me to do? Curiosity flows out of humility. Curiosity leads us to true worship. Worship leads us to deeper exploration of God's heart, which transforms our character. You see, life springs out of death. If that is true, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear humbling ourselves. We don't need to fear releasing, laying down our lives. We no longer need to fear it, because our eyes are set on the resurrection and life comes out of death. An humble man is a curious man. So walk humbly with your God. Let's work at embracing. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody here, because this is hard stuff. And I'm not just talking about these huge life-altering circumstances. I'm talking about the little challenges that come. Challenges of sickness, making the money reach around to pay the bills. This is just our daily life, brothers and sisters. Embrace the circumstances that come to you that threaten to disorganize or bring uncertainty to our certain world, or our orderly world, our well-planned, comfortable world. God loves to push us out of our comfort, our certainty, into what feels to us like chaos and uncertainty. He loves to do that because there's always life on the other side. You know that? There's always growth in life on the other side of uncertainty and vulnerability. Stuff that we don't understand and we don't like and we'd rather not have. We are people of the resurrection. Somehow our eyes of faith see resurrection on the other side. Another thing I just encourage us to do, as Nebuchadnezzar did here, tell the stories. Tell the stories of when maybe you chose to humble yourself or you were humbled. And life comes out of that. Tell the stories where God emerges as the hero, not you. The Spirit of God loves to hover over uncertainty. The Spirit of God loves to hover over dry bones, over brokenness, over fragmented human agendas, human plans, thoughts, ideas, expectations. The Spirit of God loves to hover over these fragmented things in our lives, over these thoughts and ideas, over our mess. The Spirit of God loves to hover over our mess and birth life. That's who He is. So I encourage us today just to live with open hands and outstretched arms. That's it. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. In the kingdom of heaven, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. In the kingdom of resurrection, life always springs out of death. Lord God, thank you for transforming us. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, that it is through hardness that we, through difficulty, that we enter the kingdom of God in more fullness than ever before. It's not really about us, Lord, it's all about you. And so somehow, Father, in our brokenness and in our mess, we are asking you to continue to bring forth life, resurrection life, and somehow that the good news of who you are and of your incredible kingdom would ripple out from this place all across the nations. Lord, there's life in our prayers that we pray to you. You spring forth life in our tears, in our anguished hearts, in our disappointments. You know everything, Lord. And thank you, Father, that we get to be people of the resurrection with Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone sitting here or under the sound of my voice that has never been crucified with Christ, we pray, Lord, that this message of hope would come to their ears and not just their head, but into their hearts. That they also can become people of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. You're so amazing, Lord. Continue to give us understanding of the treasures of your incredible kingdom. And Lord, help us to truth tell, to be honest, oh God, with who we are and of the wrestlings that's in our hearts and minds in these days. And may life abundant spring forth in this place and in our families, in our businesses, in our communities, in our villages, and across the nations. Lord, we watch for your soon return. Prepare us, Lord. One of these days, you are going to split the skies wide open, and you're coming for a spotless bride. that, Lord, we choose to be part of that bride. Thank you for giving us the choice. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.